John chapter 6. Again. When any turn from Zion's way, alas, what numbers do. I think I hear my Savior say, will you forsake me too? Ah, Lord, with such a heart as mine, unless you hold me fast, I feel I must, I will decline, and prove like them at last. What anguish has that question stirred, if I also will go? Yet, Lord, relying on thy word, I humbly answer no. John Newton. How long ago was John Newton? 1600s, 1500s, 1700s? Same question. I got an old one. John 6 goes back farther than that, don't it? John 6, verse 66. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, will you also go? Then Simon Peter answered him, said this, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of life. I think that's the answer that most of us in here would have. I really do. But with me, this is a personal question. You know, there's vital questions that you ask yourself concerning the scriptures, concerning yourself throughout your life. Vital things that you got to know and ask concerning salvation. Well, this is, it may not be to you, but this is a personal thing. This is a vital question I ask myself all the time. Why am I here? And will I go? You know, the preaching of the gospel, think about this, the preaching of the gospel is most often the means of separating the true from the false. This case right here, our Lord was preaching here. This whole chapter he was preaching. And he acted like a mill, like a winnowing machine. Picture that. And his nominal disciples were like a pile of wheat and husk. You know, he talked to the 12, but, you know, not necessarily every one of those who left. I think there may have been more than the 12 left there. So there was a pile of wheat and husk lying there. And his words were like that fan, like that meal, like that separator. He separated the two, driving the bad away and leaving the good. You know, more than afflictions. Now, we've seen this. More than afflictions, temptations. Think about it. Trials and persecutions. It's the gospel that separates. I've seen folks. I mean, I've been aware of things. I don't know, 45 years. I mean, I was aware of things at a pretty young age. You know, noticed things. And so, I think, time out 9 or 10, I could easily be aware of things going on around me in churches. And I've seen folks stay through loss of kids. I mean, talk about loss of life, loss of kids, loss of husband, loss of wife. You know, it seemed like they weathered the storm. But then the gospel separate them out. Trials. Seen folks go through heavy affliction, sicknesses. But the gospel, the separator. So just put, you know, and I got to ask myself. That's why I ask me all the time, why am I here? And, you know, and I know a lot of times folks say, oh, here we go again. But one day you'll see. Day you'll say, that's what we're talking about, Gil. What Gil said. Gil seems to think that one day the truth of the gospel that folks have tried to declare for years will be vindicated. You know, Gil, same thing in Gil's day. I mean, folks questioned that the gospel was the separator. And he thinks, Gil thinks, if it doesn't, if that person is not, who stands for truth, is not vindicated in his day, during life, that during the day of judgment, which will still be life, at that point he'll be vindicated before the whole world. And the gospel will then thrive once again. I mean, the truth is going to come out. True believers, followers of Christ, are separated from those who are in name only. And we see it here. We see it in John. This whole chapter is a separator. What was that message in chapter 6? Well, Christ spoke of his glory. He spoke of his incarnation. He spoke of his substitution, atonement. He spoke of his sovereignty. He spoke of election. In other words, he spoke of the same things we speak about right here. And it separated, didn't it? Didn't it? I mean, it made them mad. Those things did. Wherever these things are preached, you'll find many today going away for the same reasons. Scripture here says, from that time on, many walked away and never followed again. So what are the reasons? What were the reasons? I think we can compare them. They haven't changed. Newton, Gill, our Lord, us, nothing's changed. So I think it's a very important question we ask ourselves. What are the reasons? Well, some of them left because the doctrine was just a mysterious doctrine. They heard only with their ears. It never penetrated to the heart. Heard it with sort of tried to figure it out with a head knowledge. So they judged it because they couldn't figure it out. They judged it by the letter, not by the Spirit, because the Spirit was never there. Spirit answers all things, don't it? Spirit comes in your heart. That's what the Scripture says. But they said, this is a hard saying. Who can hear it? They didn't understand it. Didn't understand many of the things you and I just take for granted. Why? Because the Spirit's opened our eyes. Opened our hearts. So let me ask you this. Should we be shocked when we have folks in, out, visit, in and out, once, twice? They don't understand it. They never stay long enough to put the two and two together, do they? Don't do it. This gospel is a mystery. That's what Paul said in chapter 6 of Ephesians. He said, matter of fact, he said, you folks pray for me that the Lord would give me boldness to preach this gospel of Christ. It's a mystery. That's what he said. It's a tough task. He said the same thing in the third chapter. They called it the mystery of Christ. Chapter 6 is the mystery of the gospel. But he wanted boldness to preach it. Other reasons they left. Second reason they left, because it was just too spiritual for them. Verse 51 and 52. This was our lesson the last time I was here. Verse 51, he says, I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I eat, I will give as my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. And the Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? Well, we talked about that. See, the flesh and the drinks is incarnation and atonement. But it was too spiritual for them. They couldn't understand it. They tried to make it, you know, carnal. Yeah. And that's the interpretation they received, and they gave those carnal interpretations. missed the application. Many do that now. They do. They miss it. Now, if he had talked as one of the Pharisees, I mean, and get this. Now, the folks despise those Pharisees, the common people. That's who he's talking about. These are the disciples. These are got to keep them. These are just common folks who followed our Lord around. Remember, it goes all the way back to the fish. We fed them the fish. And those folks had been following him. This is into the next day now. But if it had been the Pharisees, whom they, the common person, despised, they would have, what would the Pharisees have talked about? Well, they'd have talked about, they'd spoken of phylacteries, of broad borders, and tithing, and washings. Isn't that what they talked about? But the people accepted, they were in bondage. It kept them bound up, and bound down, and tied up, but they accepted it. Why? Because it gave them something to do, right? Although it's the same thing now, that folks will miss the spiritual part of the message, and they'll accept, even though they're bound up, they'll accept these messages of tithing and working and doing and don't doing and all these things. See, our Lord's message was all corn. No husk, nothing but pure spirit. But they had no grace in their heart, none. And it says, once again, they went back and walked no more with him. So today, our heart preaching, it's not spiritual, I just call it heart preaching. Our heart preaching drives away those who want to be taught moral duties, Bible histories, things that they can do, things that they can put their hands on. Don't wait around for the spiritual part of it, do they? Don't want it. And then the third thing, many were offended and left Christ because he glorified himself. And now we're getting a little closer to the center of this thing. If your hope, or this is what Christ said, starting at chapter 6 there. He said, I'm your hope. I'm your hope. Over and over and over, he says, I am your hope. I'm the bread. How many times did he say that? I'm the bread. I am. I am. You have no access to the Father except by me. Me, me. You're going to get to God, you got to come through me. He said that over and over and over. All is in me is what his point was. Everything's in me. And in verse 61 to 62, look at there. After all this, they were offended. He said, after all this stuff, after these 60 verses or so, they said, this is a hard saying. Who can hear it? And then it says, when Jesus saw in himself that they were offended, he added this to it. He said, what if you see me ascend up? What if you see me equal with God? He glorified. What I'm saying is Christ bragged on himself. He did. He did. That's all he talked about was him. They didn't like it. They didn't like it at all. Is it any different today? Think about this. Many, many multitudes are offended when we declare Jesus, the Lord Jesus Christ. Aren't they? When we declare a glorified, ruling, sovereign Savior, they're offended. Are they not? Now, they cannot endure it. They'll have a baby Jesus. They'll have the carpenter Jesus. They'll have a humble Jesus. But they will not have a Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Why won't they have? Because it's an I. It's an I message. It's not I. It's that I. It's him. They don't want that. They want a me message. Now, if you come to them about how dignified they are and how much God needs them, and how important they are to this whole scheme of religion, don't preach Christ only. Preach Christ and his need of them. They'll have it. We preach that in this place will be full. Men don't want it. Just do not want that. So like then, many hear, they come, they go, turn away, and go, we ain't going back down there. No more. But here it is. The big turnoff of our message, the message of truth, is this. It's the same as Christ's message. The main reason people leave is this. This preaching of Christ is just too personal. It hits too close to home. He declared, our Lord did what was in their hearts. And he started back over at verse 25. These people had followed him the next day. They found him. And verse 25 says, and when they found him on the other side of the sea, they said unto him, Rabbi, when camest thou hither? And you know, he didn't even answer their question. Now, he didn't turn them away, but he got right, just plain spoken, he got right to it. He said, you didn't come, you didn't, very verily I say unto you, you seek me not because of the miracle, you saw the miracles, but because you did eat of the loaves and were filled, because I gave you something is why you followed me. That's why you're here. Then once again, he deals with their hearts over in verse 61. When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples, remember, when he, not necessarily out, but what was going on inside, what they were thinking, when he knew what they were thinking, he said to them, does this offend you? He dealt directly with the heart. It didn't matter what a person asked him, he was going to get back. You know, people deflect, don't they? You know, it doesn't matter if you're a kid or you're an adult. When you get in trouble, you're going to deflect it if somehow or the other. You ain't going to answer the question. Let's talk about something else. And that's what they were trying. They tried to deflect, but our Lord, he wouldn't deflect. He'd come right back that same old rock. And he was too direct. He's just too direct. His plainness offended the people. You know, people kill me. They talk about, well, you ought to act like Jesus acts. They had no idea how Jesus acted. Jesus was plain spoken, direct. Wasn't mean, but he sure told the truth, didn't he? Let me ask you this. What good does just a general answer do for you compared to a direct answer? Greg, your grandpa was a pretty direct fellow, wasn't he? Now, I bet you remember a lot of things he told you, don't you? Bill Gray, you remember Bill? Bill's a direct guy. I remember so many things he told me. Folks, I could name them, Morris Williams, folks through my life that just on and on I could go back, other than you, that were just blunt, and it went down like vinegar. It did. But I sure remember it better than anything else. I learned more from that bluntness than I ever did those who told me what I wanted to hear. You see the difference? So let me ask you this. What good does just a general sermon do compared to a direct sermon? Is it doing you any good? You know, there have been times that you've said something I could have swore that she or one of them girls had talked to you. It hit right in the center. Direct. It did some good, didn't it? If it's a general sermon, you can deflect it off somebody else. Our Lord wouldn't do that, and neither should we. But they said, same thing you hear now, I don't like him. I don't like him. He just talks about sin too much. He talks about my heart too much. He don't make me feel good at all about myself. Well, good company, that's the way the Lord did. Just didn't make folks feel good. We don't feel good about us. We feel good about Christ. Right? That's who we feel good about. And all along, in all these congregations, when the truth, the gospel is preached, you have hearers who make professions. I'm talking about where truth is preached. They'll make a profession, and then they leave and go back. We see it. It's a lifetime of seeing it. And what it is the truth finally just sifted them out. I've seen it get some in a few months. I've seen some stay for 20 years. Finally, that truth just sifted them out. Exposed them. Once everything sifted out around them, all that's left is to the people is the rottenness, and they're exposed. Proven to be husk, aren't they? You know, election, we've heard this, election and God's sovereignty will get some people. And then human responsibility and the duty of sinners to repent and believe gets others, don't it? Salvation by grace alone gets some. Holy living will get others. But the sad part of it all is when they leave the Lord's house, the true Lord's house, 9 times out of 10, they've left the Lord of the house. That's the sad part. So the second point is this. We shouldn't be surprised when they go. We have this, don't we? You look at verse 66 again. It says, from that time many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. And what does it say then? Then Jesus said unto the 12. You notice that there's no remark by Christ of those that turned back. He didn't mention them. He just turned to the 12 and started talking to them. Is there any indication that he went after them? Is there? I mean, show me if there is. There is no indication. He didn't ask about them. He didn't go after them. He left them alone, didn't he? He turned to those that were there and dealt with them, those that stayed. Will you also go away? To me, now this is me, his silence on those that were gone and his refusal to stand up and go after them, go visit them, go talk to them, tells me that he viewed them as husk or as weeds that had to be rooted up and thrown away. Get them out of the way where I can deal with the 12 that I know are with me. Why do folks leave? And why should we not be surprised? Well, number one, among these folks, I call them cursory followers. There were some who sought to gain. It says over there a while ago in verse 25, he says, you follow me because of the fish, because I fed you. They like being in Christ's company for gain, for temporal gain. That's, you know, Judas carried the money bag, and that's what that money was for, is to divvy out to the poor, to the needy. That's what, you know, they questioned. You remember, why'd you give it to her? Why'd she waste this? You know, but that money bag was to help those who needed help, along with buying their food. But folks followed. It was a poor world back then. So folks followed our Lord, but they were after something temporal. So when he talked about this bread of life, the true meaning of what he was here for, I said, we're not interested in that. Do we have that today? Cursory? Somebody will come in and they'll follow here a while. They're looking for some gain or some position. And when all they get is a steady diet of truth, not going to do any good there. Got my guitar out in the truck.
Yeah.
Gone this way and back. No, we don't need your guitar. We need you to hear the truth. He's gone. Never be back again. 2 miles from here, isn't he?
Right.
I can't help that church down there. Some follow because of his speaking ability. You know, those chief priests went to, the officers of the chief priest, remember they went to arrest the Lord and they came back empty-handed. Remember what did they tell the chief priest? Remember they said, man, no, nobody, I wonder, I always wondered, what did the chief say? Well, where is he? But they came back and they said, we never heard anybody speak like this man. So some followed our Lord because of his ability to speak. His parables were so descriptive. The common people could understand him. Like, go back to the common people couldn't understand the Pharisees, but they could understand this man. He had great ability to speak. I'm anxious to hear him one day. And how many folks have we known like this who enjoyed the way a fellow spoke? I used to know. I know a fellow that years ago came one time a year because he thought he was intelligent, and so the guy that you would have here was intelligent. So he'd come and listen to him because he felt like, well, two great minds on the same page. That was it. Never interested in the truth, just interested in his IQ. Heart charming. And then some followed because it was new and different. Seen a world of those, haven't we? New and different. Our Lord was the traveling preacher. He was. Scripture says he had nowhere to sleep, lay his head. He didn't live anywhere. He was a traveling preacher. And he spoke of lilies and flowers and ravens and planting and reaping and building and ox and stock. And I mean, he connected, didn't he? He connected with people. Used simple language. I said that a while ago. Once again, he's unlike the teaching of those scribes. Even the children could understand what he said. Well, we've seen this, haven't we? No different. Traveling preacher comes to town, preaches the same message. But he'll come to town, come down here and preach for 3 or 4 days, and they'll be coming from 2 or 3 states to hear. Same message, isn't it? And what kills me is you sit there growing up, kid. You know, hey, adults, kids listen, they know what people are saying.
Right.
So, and I heard it, you know, talk about, oh, well, thank you, brother, oh, you know. Tell them 2 or 3 things they had read through the week. And that, I mean, good man, he don't know. He just, and he leaves, and boy, that's a good church. And they gone. He don't even know they're not in the church, but they never come back. They've impressed the traveling preacher, and now they're gone. I could go on. Like I said, 45 years of seeing it. I could go on. But the bottom line is folks are no different now than they were then, are they? People are people. Words are words. Spurgeon wrote this to a pastor. He said, "Do not fret, my dear brethren, on their account, and do not abate a single jot or tittle of anything of truth. I would not alter my preaching in order to retain any individual, however eminent or influential he may be. Others may fish for him and accept him if they like." Sorry. "But I shall not, My business is to declare my master's message exactly as he shows it me in the word and by his spirit. I'm responsible to him and him alone for the faithful discharge of this message. And then he uses for so it was of our Lord himself. And then he quotes this, from that time forward, many walked with him no more. So number three, here's the question. Here is the question to me, not to you. You can ask yourself if you want. This is the question I ask me. Will you, Britt Worthen, also go away? I'm not dead sure. I don't have a crystal. I can't see the future. I hope I won't. But I do ask this question most every day. Will I go away? Not that I don't trust the Lord. I don't trust me. See, I don't trust me. So will I go away? He asked this of his 12, his select. One of them went away. He asked it of his close. Think about this. He asked this of his close ones, his friends, those that had been with him from the start. They'd been with him through tribulation, through reproach. They saw his miracles. They heard his teaching. They heard him pray. They heard our Lord pray. To them, he unraveled the mysteries of the gospel. It was revealed to them. The kingdom was revealed to them. One-on-one. That's who he's talking. That's who he's asking this question to. Will you also go away? Will. Emphasis on will. Lord left it to his disciples, didn't he? Will you stay or will you go? Matthew Henry says, Christ will detain none against their wills. His soldiers are volunteers, not pressed men. In other words, they're not drafted. Scripture says our Lord makes us willing in the day of his power, but he'll have no unwilling followers. Here's the thing that I ask myself, so I'll ask you to think about this. If you're willing to leave, you've probably left already. Will you walk away from Christ? Not this church, not this building. Will you walk away from Christ? And then he says, will you also go? Also. You know, people are weak, aren't they? Most folks are weak. People are inclined to do what others do. Just follow the crowd. Don't want to stand out. It's easier just to blend. It's just blend. So boys, if your dad goes, will you go? Girls, if your dad goes, will you go? Will you also go? We've seen that so many times, haven't we? Parents leave, kids never come back, or vice versa. Or a husband leave, and the wife may have been pretty happy, but and sometimes a husband dies, and the wife still don't come back. Will you also go away? You know, I cut a tree down at the edge of my garden, big old poplar tree, it's blocking out too much sun, so I cut it. And as it came down, it was the ruling tree. It was the one that stood out. But as it came down, it knocked smaller trees down, and it knocked limbs down. It took them with it. Will you also be one of those limbs? One of those smaller trees? You got to stand up. You got to be your own person if you're going to follow Christ. You got to be a man even if you're a woman. You know what I mean? Got to stand true. Tough stuff sometimes. Got to stand up. Will you also go away? Or are you going to stick with your Lord? That's what Newton was saying there in this Gatsby. He said, when any turn from Zion's way, he says, my goodness, how many do? He said, well, I do it too. Here's the answer. Lord, to whom shall I go? You ever asked yourself this, where are you going to go? I do. I pretend sometimes something happened, right? Y'all ever pretend something happened? You got to go somewhere else? Y'all ever done that? I do. You know, something, I can't come back here. My dad said, don't you ever come back to my church again. So where will I go? What am I going to do? So I think about it. I know of a place where I could go here, Calvinism. I do. I know a place where I could go. I could, and it'd be very orthodox, and I would learn tons of things about our doctrine. I would. Could I go there? I could not. Could not. I know of a place I go where I go back sort of the law works. I got friends who go to a couple of, I could go there. I know folks there. Go to a place where law works would be reestablished. Do's and don'ts is what I'm talking about. You know, how you live, how you dress, what you, you know, tell you everything. Tell you, make it easy for you. Rules and regulations. And I could try to find some comfort in that. And be as perfect as I could be, just sort of blend in with what, I don't think I could do that. I couldn't go there, Amber. Couldn't do it. Then I could go to a contemporary type church. You know, modern. I don't know. I mean, I went to a couple of funerals recently with those there. And I thought, I am old. Old. This doesn't make sense. None of it. It's too loud. Then I could go to a friendly church. That's advertised. Friendly churches. I tell you what. To be a friend, the scripture says you got to make yourself friendly. There's a lot of friends right here. Some folks just need to make themselves friendly. I could go to a church full of activities. Could I? You know, Christ's name would be mentioned in all of those churches. He would be in every one of those messages. The problem is, Christ would not be the message. There's a difference. Christ in the message, or is Christ the message? That's where I got to go. I got to go somewhere where Christ is the message. Or I could do this. I could go sort of to a careless religion. I could buy me a camper and a boat and join the church where somebody don't care whether I come or not. Don't bother me. Ain't going to call me and check me. And I could go to the woods and to the lake and all these places and enjoy just, you know, worshiping there. Careless religion. Read the Bible a little bit, pray a little bit, and just sort of go to church when I was in town. I could go back that far. Talking about how far would I go if I left? Or I could do this. I could go all the way back. Somehow. All the way back. I'm talking about all the way back into sin. Into those places that you came out of that you thought you'd never go back into again. Could go there. Somehow. Here's my answer. I can't go because you have the words of life. That's why I can't go. Lord, you have the words of life. That's my answer. I'm saved by grace. There's no merit in anything about me. Nothing. Full of trash. No good. What Christ did for me binds me to Him, Jason, forever. Nobody could have done for me what... what he did. Nobody. Nobody could have. See, nobody could have bled for me. Nobody could have died for me. Nobody could put a spirit and his word in my heart like Christ has done. Nobody. No other religion satisfies, does it? So outside of him, outside of Christ, what is there? There is nothing. So no matter what happens, I gotta hold to him. And I've affiliated right here. So if there is no, if I'm the last man standing and everybody goes, then I guess I'll be right here waiting for somebody to show up. But I got to die right here. So whatever happens, Lord, by God's grace, as long as I'm here, as long as I'm alive, this is where you'll find me. As long as Christ is here. And He's here. He's here. Christ is here. And that's all.